Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to another edition to the noisiest show on earth. What is that noise? October 7th. November 7th. November 7th, 2021. Time is flying.
Yeah, hopefully your clock doesn't say 8 o'clock.
I'm here, aren't I, Scott? That means it's 7 o'clock.
Didn't say you.
Oh.
Me and you. That's okay.
All right. Push 1. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. Push 1 on your keypad if you'd like to get in. We had talked to JJ earlier, a couple days ago, and I can't find an email. The emails that I tossed them already, and I don't have them. So the person that said, that wrote me an email that said they appointed 60 people, clipboarders, to walk around the plant talking bad about direct voting systems. Could you either call in or send me another email? I need to know your plan. You don't have to leave your name. You don't have to do any of that. Just send me an email what plant it is, what local.
Kansas City.
Was it Kansas City?
All you had to do is go back and listen to last week's show. You said
I don't want to, Scotty. It's like I got things to do. It's not to go back. I don't even know where to find last week's show. I know how to put the switchboard on, okay?
Okay.
It might have been Kansas City. We did have one from Kansas City, didn't we?
If I remember right.
Arlington. I know Arlington, Kansas City, was it Louisville?
I think
no.
So.
No, the vet plant, I think.
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, thank you. That's where I stay every time I go down south. I stay there.
And you had a retiree from Janesville, too, right?
I don't know. And, Baltimore, I think. Hell, I don't know. 1292, I know. I see that we got a lot of emails, but they're only read three. Anyway, let me get Jimmy on, and this is probably Adrian. Adrian, spinning. Adrian.
Yes. Good evening, and I'm on time.
No, you're not. You're late.
No, I'm not.
You were 2 minutes late.
I was here listening to you and Scotty talking.
You're 2 minutes late.
Yeah, okay.
It's 1:26 right now.
I'm never late. I'm always on time.
Last week, you were 25 minutes late.
Didn't recognize my
I was
wand.
On time.
I have to talk to your husband. Nasty stuff
okay.
After the show. All right.
It's been an interesting week.
Uh-oh, something's breaking in and out. Is that Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get more emails on that because I heard some complaints echoing out of Oregon on how their committee body was going around saying we need to keep things the same because they really benefited that standalone agreement as we all talk about, you know, and, you know, it's just pathetic how they use the shit, you know.
Yeah. No. Well, we're not surprised. We knew they would do something like that. Who's playing with
their
phone?
It's funny, though, because both sides, the good and evil, come out on this direct voting. I see one of my old committee mans that was on committee with Norwood said he stood with Norwood for 20 years and 90% of the time was against it. He was talking with Kerry. Bob did a good job, and I want to give him a kudos for that.
All right.
So, but yeah, it's just sad that what they've got away with. I mean, I got a question. I saw that one of my benefits reps retired, a good old guy, Vern Burns. But I'm noticing a similarity. Are these all do they have like timeshares or condos? It seems like all these big international people all are down there in Florida in this certain area. So I'm wondering, do they have like a timeshare down there? Because Dick told me at one time the international had a like a huge trailer park.
I don't know.
Really?
Like the circus used to have down there. Somebody's phone is cutting in and out. I don't know whose phone that is.
Is it mine?
I don't know, Scotty.
I'll mute myself.
Yes, Scotty, it's you, of course.
Definitely.
Your 50-cent Kmart special, blue light special. Yes, Scotty, it's you.
Stop it.
My God, you make
a
dollar.
Semiconductor, I know it. It's a semiconductor.
Let me get that 99. Hold on.
Go ahead.
989.
Greetings to your rabble roses.
There's our boy. There's our man.
How's everything going tonight, rather?
Yeah, we got a lot better. A lot better tonight. But Adrian said there's a lot of news, so.
Well, let's hear it, Adrian.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just going through. Today was the day that I decided to go through some of my Facebook posts and Kellogg's is still out on strike. They turned down their tentative agreement, final offer. This final offer thing is really something. They cannot tell you it's the final offer. And make you feel make you feel like you got to accept it. Nope, you don't.
That's coercion. Who's saying
it?
The company or the union telling the employees that this is their best and final?
Of course it's the union saying it to the membership. Not the union, the negotiators. Let me put it that way. That's actually coming from the company. That's illegal because now you're not bargaining in good faith.
No, that's coercion.
Okay. You could use that term for it. John Deere, I see some stuff where now management is calling members. I especially like the one post where the member said, oh, okay, well, yeah, I could talk to you with my union rep, UAW legal counsel, my own legal counsel. I love that. This person is not going to have them do anything to them later on. But why is management even calling the members?
I thought that was illegal, too, because I remember
I
when I was in management.
That would be illegal.
I remember when I was in management and they tried to unionize, and there were strict guidelines in which things, words I was not allowed to even say to the employees. And surely not having a private conversation with them, that was definitely the first thing that you don't do.
Yeah, that seems like that's a big problem to me. Those were the couple of things that I really saw. I read so many comments. Those in support of the delegate system, you know, people really don't understand about the one member, one vote. It does not get rid of the delegates. The delegates still have to be in place for other things. One member, one vote is for the voting, that we want to be able to vote who we want to be from the head on down. You should be able to vote for every office, every official office. we should be able to vote for those people, including the region. See, no one talks about the region.
No, they don't.
But, yeah, those people also need to be voted in.
Absolutely.
You know, so the one member, one vote should be covering all of that.
Scott's back. Scott, do something with your phone.
I throw it out the window. No, I'm not. But anyway, I posted some bullshit, and I'm going to ask you exactly what it is. It's bullshit.
Uh-oh.
I posted on Workers Workplace Union and posted both of them. I'm going to read the bottom of the one. Okay. This is called Protect the Wheel for Today and Tomorrow. And this says to vote to maintain the delegate voting system. And they give you bullet points, all those, that's a bullshit. But here's what it reads on the bottom. About us. Established by the Walter Reuther almost 80 years ago, the Administration Caucus is an association of UAW members dedicated to advancing the goals of strong collective bargaining, aggressive worker advocacy, and helping to build just and fair society. The caucus promotes and advances experienced, battle-tested union members as leaders within the UAW with long-standing commitment to racial and gender diversity within our ranks. We stand proud on our record of achieving economic security for our members, their families, and the communities in which they live. They have a Facebook site and another site. And I've tried talking to other people about this, and they think this is bullshit. Well, people have made some negative comments, and their comments are either removed off the Facebook site and or are blocked. So I'm just telling you, I think this is kind of, this is sketchy. And I want to screenshot all this stuff, and I'm going to try to get this to the lawyer tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw something on that where someone was blocked because they didn't agree with them.
Right.
So sad that, you know, adults, if you don't agree with them, then they block you or what have you. That's sad. You should always be able to see someone else's point of view, even if you don't agree with it.
Right. This is. I don't know. I want to say this is something we've had a conversation with in the past, going back to the 2015 agreement. This sounds like something the PR people would do. But they have put their name on there as the Administration Caucus, as the Walter Reuther Administration Caucus. And we all know on this show who the Walter Reuther Administration Caucus is. So that's your whole upper echelon and the regional directors for the International Executive Board. That's who this is. And to come out with such a message and to say that one member, one vote is bad and for whatever all the reasons they want to give on there, I'm not going to entertain it. I'm just saying this is bad. I mean, because this on the Facebook page, it says, this is a page of the UAW Administration Caucus. While we encourage discussion debate, we do not permit abuse, threats, blah, 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 blah. And if you do anything negative or anything contradictory to them, they remove you and or block you.
Yep, they take tongue away, Scott.
Basically, what they're telling us is we're too stupid to know what's best for us.
They took my tongue away, for a week. I was able to read everything on their page, but I couldn't comment or post no more on the page. And that, you know, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I just don't go back on their page. But a lot of the shit they put on that page is wrong. The letter that we just read where they said this, that, and the other thing, and they stand on their record. Yeah, they're standing on a record but they're only looking to 1981, from like 36 to 81. What happened from 85 to now is where we're talking about, you morons. And you ain't got shit to stand on, in my humble opinion. Take it away, boys.
Everything they've done in the last 40 years is a failure. They bought in this cooperation to save plants and jobs, and, you know, that hasn't happened. They gave away the farm as far as working conditions, break time. They've bought into the speed up. They got rid of desirable jobs and job classifications. They've cut the pay in half for new workers, eliminated their pension rights and their health care rights on retirement, and management still continues to lop heads. The thing is, with all the giveaways we have, management should be opening new plants and pouring all kinds of work into the plants. The thing is, their goal is to exterminate the union through cooperation. They want to get it down so that they've got less than 25,000 people working at General Motors hourly, so that when we go on strike over economic conditions, they can just replace us. When there was close to a 500,000 workers at General Motors, they couldn't even think of replacing all of us. But when they've outsourced all our work and downsized to the point they want, they can easily replace us.
Right. Yeah.
They're just trying to eliminate us through our own cooperation. They want us to cooperate in our own demise. And the thing is, everything we've lost, none of it has been as a result of a long strike where management beat us down and we had to surrender all this stuff. What it is, the union surrendered it voluntarily. And the only thing we've got out of it is dozens of appointed jobs at Solidarity House and in the few remaining plants.
Right. Yeah, that's what Adrian was talking about. And I think I read the same thing you did. You know, we're talking about the law in Massachusetts. We're talking about it's been adopted in the federal law part of it, as to where the employer and the employee's representative, that would be the union, must continually meet to try to get a good contract. Because when they say, oh, it's our final offer, that means they're done talking. That means they're done talking to you. That's not how it's supposed to be.
Right.
You're supposed to continue to negotiate. And like I said, what you just said, I'm telling you from their own statement that they are members dedicated to advancing the goals of strong collective bargaining, aggressive worker advocacy, and helping to build a just and fair society.
They're not advocating for us. They're dictating to us. How many times just in the Flint area alone did the workforce vote a contract down and it came back for a second or even a third vote? They're not advocating for us. They're advocating for what management wants. They spend no time going on the plant floor asking what's important to the worker. The thing is, they absolutely don't care what we want. They care about what management wants.
Right.
You know, just like with the team concept. We all knew it was bad for us, and time after time, locals rejected team concept. And
yep.
The union forced it on us. Instead of fighting back, they forced us on us. I remember that was one of the issues in the UPS strike, where about 20 years ago, management wanted to bring team concept and a UPS, and the Teamster said no. But the thing is, we have set such a bad example as a union. We're dragging down a lot of the other unions in the country. This thing that now other companies want, what General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler have, a second and third tier. You know, it's just crap. They want that
right,
because they knew that management was able to get away with it in the auto industry.
Right.
I mean, it's pathetic when you see I haven't seen this this ad except once, where Lear was advertising for workers at $14 an hour. It was the same week, I believe, that McDonald's up in Traverse City said they were willing to pay $21 an hour. What's wrong with our union when our pay scale is two-thirds of what they're willing to pay at some fast food restaurants?
Yeah, you got pizza joints and fast food joints that run. Yeah.
All you have to do is smile and take orders at these fast food restaurants. And in the auto industry, or in, you know, you have to worry about getting carpal tunnel, tendonitis, trigger finger, you know, all these kind of ailments.
That's right. We've got 48 people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push one on your keypad and I'll get you right on. Go ahead, guys.
Stop forgetting about the chemicals that you breathe in.
Exactly. That was a big one for me. It's the reason I wouldn't work overtime.
You remember one thing. What was it? It was Mr. King, was it, that brought us that last and final offer language to us the first time with John Deere? And the old man called it horseshit back then. He goes, how the hell are you supposed to negotiate with somebody? We turned it down. They just said, screw you people, we ain't negotiating no more. How do you fight that if the government's going to back them up? And then they allow them, well, we'll pay scabs more money than we'll pay you an hour. Like you said, this is something somebody up above would have to stand in.
There's always going to be a medium somewhere. Always. If you're the employer, you may not get the high ground this time. Next contract, you might get the high ground, but there's always going to be give and take. It just to the point of what am I willing to live without? Because at some point, it's going to start cutting into profit margin. When they realize, and I'm talking about the UAW leadership who's negotiating this and the John Deere management, when they realize that it's the workers that's the backbone of your factory who create all your wealth, then you go back to the table. They haven't figured it out yet. Remember, I put a quote up this week. You can't leave those who created the problem in charge of the solution. Period.
That is correct.
Thank you. These people, I'm telling you right now, I don't listen. Brown is executive administrative aide, his assistant. That's who's helping negotiate this right now. Dennis Williams didn't like the deer workers to begin with. He created the tier system for them.
They didn't lose after a long strike. Dennis Williams just surrendered that. I mean,
what
kind of people think that their kids should make half as much money as they make and not get a pension, not be provided with health care? These are some real lowlifes, but this shows you what's wrong with the convention system. I've mentioned this before. When I went to the convention, and it was between Dennis Williams and, you know, another guy there who didn't get too many votes, the the thing is, I think a lot of the people there knew what kind of a person Dennis Williams was. But I was the only delegate from Region C, 1C and 1D that voted for Gary Wachowicz instead of Williams. And that's why we need to get rid of the system so we can get better quality people, so we can have actual real elections. What people need to understand out there is we don't have a real election at the convention. Most of the positions go unopposed because it's impossible for someone to get elected there, as it is currently, someone who's not a member of the Ruther slate. It's impossible to beat them. The system's set against you. You know, when you have to stand up in front of the whole convention hall there and say you're voting for Gary Wachowicz or whoever, it's very intimidating for most people. They don't want to cross the regional director.
One of the things that you said that I have a disagreement with.
Okay.
You said who would want to bring their children in, I guess in a tier system is what you were saying.
Yeah.
The part that I disagree with is the fact that if they're in the upper echelon, they bring their children in, but they flip their children over to something that they can earn six figures.
Sure. They take
now,
care of their kids.
Yeah, they take care of all of theirs. This is the
right.
Nepotism that's going on.
Oh,
but
yeah.
With us, you know, our children come in at the bottom.
Our kids get crap and they stay with crap. You know, the UAW International has no intention of bringing the pay up to what we made, you know, maybe 50 years from now. But they don't plan to allow new workers to have the kind of standard of living we had.
Yeah. I think the highest that they can make is $28. It might be a few cents on there.
Yeah. And I made $30 12 years ago.
313, what was that?
I said, I think I'm going to top out at 30 and some change.
30 and some change, okay.
No. Go back and look at the contract, the contractual language. I think it's the same across the board for the big three.
And it's 28 and some change.
Yeah.
They say one thing, but they put everything in black and white print.
At the end of the last year of the contract.
I'm at 20 and some change right now, and my eighth year is coming up in March. So that's when I'm supposed to top out. So I'm pretty sure it's right around 30. So if not, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah. But that's what I made 12 years ago.
When I'm saying it's $28, I think that was the last contract. Okay, so that would be new hires would top out at $28.
Right.
And I think it's safe to say, everyone on this show, that we all believe that they should top out exactly what all the seniority workers are making.
Right.
Yes.
I'm saying is I will make the 30 and some change come March, and then after that, they have I don't know if it's yearly increase, but a bonus. So you're right. I'm still topped out at 30. But then I will get something. I don't remember the terminology on it, but it's like $1,200 a year bump. But it's more.
Isn't it
more
a 3% raise? 3% raise every other year, and a bonus the other year.
Okay, I might be wrong because I'm not there yet, so I was not paying attention. because I'm too prone to pay attention. Come on, Paul, that was for you. You don't let that one go by.
What was that?
3-0-3.
I said that one was for Paul. I was too poor to pay attention. He let that one go by and didn't say anything.
Oh, you're too broke to pay attention, yeah.
No, when this third year, the pay increase, the top-out pay for Chrysler will be 31 and some change. I can't remember the exact amount. I believe it's like 3160 or 70. I know this because it was below the Gemma pay because I didn't get a raise. I actually had to take a pay cut going into the apprenticeship, but the Gemma pay was 3271, and so for 14 years, I haven't been able to get a pay raise.
So
wow.
As a skilled tradesman, you're going to make about what I made as a production worker 12 years ago?
Yeah.
No, he'll make more.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I got cut down to top production pay, which is 3082 currently.
Okay.
And then with the next pay increase, it'll be 3% of that added on. So I'll get that increase once that comes next year. But as a Gemma, ex-Gemma employee, we were at 3271. And in 2009 renegotiation, they cut our pay when they took away COLA.
Yep.
So in 2009, we were with COLA, we were at 34, and then they cut that in half and gave us $2. And so then we were at 3271. And people working in the plant doing the same job as us, the new people weren't making it. And so we haven't seen a pay raise in 13, almost 14 years.
Damn. Wow.
Only a pay cut.
That's amazing. Oh, man.
Thank you, Cindy and Prada.
Our brothers and sisters are way behind because according to, the rate of inflation over the last 15 years, our pay as production workers for auto workers should be in the $40 an hour range. $40
work that we had years ago has been outsourced to low paying companies like Lear.
Right.
And so they're doing even worse by far.
Lear, American Axle. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing is, everything the union has done is counterproductive. All the concessions that we've given, management did not bring work back in-house, but they took the savings and they invested it in automation, eliminate more jobs, or into facilities, invested in facilities in China and Mexico and Thailand and wherever else they wanted to.
Yep.
We have very weak bargainers. The thing is, I believe it was Ronald Reagan that said, trust but verify. And our union doesn't take the time to verify that we're getting what we're supposed to be getting in return for our concessions.
Well,
and if I remember right, they said we'd get our benefits, everything back once General Motors turned the corner. Don't forget that part of it.
GM's eliminated 90% of the workforce since the early 80s.
Yes, they have.
So it hasn't brought us job security. Laying down and surrendering to management hasn't bought goodwill. It hasn't kept plants open. Hasn't kept work in house.
Sure
but
hasn't.
It has put productivity through the roof.
Right.
While our pay has stagnated.
Right.
And generally, as productivity increases, so does pay.
Yeah.
And if you look at the statistical chart over the decades, right when they started giving concessions in the early 80s is when that productivity and pay gap started to drastically widen.
Right.
And today, union workers are more productive than they've ever been.
Right.
And we're not being compensated fairly for that productivity.
And our union's not pushing to have our workforce fairly compensated. That gets back to this vote. If you're a retiree out there, you need to understand the union's not doing anything for you. They're just waiting for you to die, basically. And it used to be when you retired from a plant, you were welcome to go back and visit. You're not welcome anymore. You haven't been welcome for a dozen years or so. Management doesn't want anything to do with retirees. The union wants us to shut up and just go to retiring meetings and eat donuts and drink coffee and vote for the people they want. If you want your union to stop ignoring retirees, we need the right to elect our international leaders. If you're a person that's got a second or third tier wage, if you're a person whose plant's on the bubble and maybe scheduled for closing or it's looking that way, you need to get direct election of union officials so you have people that are accountable to you and listen to you, because they know if they don't listen, they can be removed.
Absolutely.
We don't have that in the current system.
Definitely not.
If you want a union that fights the speed up, you need to get the direct election of officers. If you want decent working conditions, if you want a union that doesn't roll over every time management barks at them, you need direct election of your officers.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know they're going to do something for you because they want to be reelected.
That's right. And if you want to put a stop to all this nepotism, you need to elect your officers directly. You know, if they know it might cost them their job because they put their wife and three kids on staff, it'll make a big difference when these people are scrutinized and they can be removed. Their behavior will change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at the numbers. I was comparing the numbers. I went and visited that Protect the Wheel Facebook page. Oh, that was funny. But they've got like 126 people that follow their page. And just for shits and giggles, I looked up Scott's page, Workers Workplace, and what the heck is it?
Unions. Union.
Yeah, workers' unions. Yeah, okay. There's a couple thousand on there. UAWD,
They've got a couple thousand. Brian Keller's got 5,000 friends. UAW, GM, Ford, Chrysler, Real Talk. They've got a couple of thousand. And so there's something like 10,000. 10,000 people following pages that they're all asking and supporting the direct election. And here you have Protect the Wheel with 126, which proves my point, what I've been saying for years, been trying to tell people at my plants, you know, when they think that they can't do anything. The cronies, the families of these folks at the International are far, far outnumbered by us regular, average, everyday folk, right? So we have the ability, we have the power to come together and put an end to their reign and their tyranny.
And JJ,
and,
JJ,
yes,
hold
sir.
On. Don't forget, this show, it primarily has 20,000, over 20,000 Twitter followers. So,
oh,
forget. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, yeah.
So you're talking. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So just in the amount of people that are supporting the one member, one vote, direct elections, from what I'm seeing, far, far outnumber the cronies. So we have a historic opportunity to seize the moment and to get the transparency and accountability that we should have had all along. We have an opportunity as members to come together and make a stand and say, we've had enough of the cronyism, the nepotism, and being treated like mushrooms.
Right.
And we're not going to take it
anymore. I would like to see a convention where the people, the delegates, acted like adults, you know. What I'd like to see, where they went down there instead of acting like bobbleheads. My first convention I went to was really shameless, because a guy would stand up, say who he was, his plant, his local, and tell what a great regional director he had and what a great assistant regional director he had, and blah, blah, blah. Of course, I didn't participate in that kind of behavior, but I'd like to see delegates go down there to conduct business, to work on the behalf of their membership, instead of positioning themselves to get the next appointed job.
Right. Go down there, kick ass, take names,
yeah,
and make sure resolutions.
Yeah.
Resolutions are passed for the forwarding contract.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I would also, you know, one thing that got mentioned here was the amount of small locals that don't even send delegates. I'd like to see the International Union fork over some money to help these small locals to be able to afford to send a delegate to the convention. So they do have a voice, and they know what's going on. A lot of them would probably be disgusted if they saw the way a convention was you know, the way a convention went.
Well, absolutely. You know, these guys can go out and have all these sub-council meetings and wine and dine and spend $30,000-$40,000 a year. You could give these small locals who may not be able to raise the funds to send their delegate or their delegates to the convention and pay for that. it's union business.
Well,
and,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and get back to what JJ said. You want to talk about statistics. Since 1978, the cost of college tuition has increased by 1,120%. Medical care has increased by 601%. Housing costs has increased by 380%. Meanwhile, the pay of the typical workers rose by just 10%. The minimum wage workers fell by 5.5%, and the average CEO increased by 937%.
All right.
There's some statistics for you.
I have a question for the administration caucus, if they're listening. What are you afraid of? If you've done all that you could do for the membership, you've been true blue union towards every union member, what are you afraid of?
Their record?
Well, they shouldn't be afraid if they've done everything they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But they're proud, and they stand on their record. Isn't that what
they
said? Yes,
they do.
Yeah.
They
have
a great record to stand on.
Well,
they're standing on a pile of lies.
They're standing on, but they're standing on our grandfather's records, not the shit they've done.
There you go.
It was a solid union till 1980. The Reuther slate did do their job till they got sucked into jointness.
Yes.
Now they're getting more joint programs.
It actually started before 1980. They were stopped. They weren't doing their job. They were dwindling before 1980.
Oh, yeah. I just mean once management started paying them to do what they wanted to do, that's when it really fell apart.
Yep, it snowballed after that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because what percentage of the of our union reps are paid through joint funds? It's a pretty big amount.
Yeah.
And all these joint programs are set up to reinforce management's will on the membership. Why is the union working toward improving throughput, productivity, whatever you want to call it? It's not their job. Their job is to make sure that worker on the floor doesn't get run over while management's trying to increase productivity. They should have nothing to do with that. It hasn't brought work in-house. If the reward was okay, you've increased your productivity, you've cut absenteeism, you've increased quality, then the workforce should be rewarded for that. Instead, their jobs go away. What kind of asinine creature cooperates with that?
Yeah.
A self-serving one?
Yeah.
Yeah, our leadership, in my opinion, feels that they're equivalent to the companies or corporations. And so that they should be paid like them, and they should treat the members like the management treats us.
Yeah. Like we're a lower class of people.
Yes. And this is where I, came up with, this is a slave mentality.
Right.
Okay. Taking race out of it. Don't look at race.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You make peanuts, and all of the people above is making wealth.
Yep.
Look at right now. Prices, the prices are just soaring. Everything is going up.
Yeah.
But your wages are stagnant. Matter of fact, some are making less, just like John said. He took a cut in pay.
Yep.
Okay, but the price of a 5-pound bag of flour ain't taking a cut. Right? It's
no.
going up.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother story.
if that new bill that they're proposing passes, there's some new taxes in that will increase the cost of meat by as much as 7 times what the current price is.
Wow.
So yeah, we're going back to Depression years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 30s when people mm-hmm. couldn't afford.
Yeah. Right. Costs are going to continue to go up. There's no way that we'll be able to afford it. And
right.
when you're only making enough to put a roof over your head and food on the table, that's not living, that is surviving. And as Adrian said, that's slavery.
Right.
And if we're okay with that, then we are absolutely accepting and living in a slave mentality. And we must break that, because without the workers, nothing gets done.
Yeah.
We're
correct.
The most important cog in the machine. We need to act like that. And we deserve to be compensated for that.
Well, we do need to reinvigorate the union movement, and we need to do that by direct election. It's really crazy that the free market out there is showing that if you want to get help now in your small business or your fast food restaurant, you better pay close to $20 an hour. But our UAW has locked our members into long-term contracts and, you know, at a low rate of pay.
They don't have insight. They don't know how to forecast. And that's
that,
where
right.
a lot of the problem comes in.
That's right.
The management
side Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the management side has all kinds of accountants and statistical personnel.
Right.
And that's what they do. They forecast. You may only forecast for 10 years at a time, but
right.
yet and still you do that. Our upper echelon, they don't have those skills.
Yeah.
And they really never had them, to really tell you the truth.
No.
But you would think as the years have progressed, just like the companies are investing in robotics,
yeah.
you would have thought that they would have invested where they tried, but they had thieves because they had a certified public accountant, but he was a thief.
Yeah. Yep.
So you need people that have integrity. They're honest people.
Right.
You don't have a lot of that going on.
Well, I think one thing that has showed all this nonsense is going on, and plus you've witnessed it at a convention, we have a lot of heavy drinkers in leadership in our union.
Yes.
You know, this thing with when they popped some of these guys, it was revealed that they were spending a lot of money on high-priced liquor. And it would be nice to have some people hold upper level office who are sober, who are not heavy drinkers.
When you go into negotiations, you should be sober. You shouldn't be doing no drinking.
No.
Now, I was a casino goer, okay?
Okay.
And I'd be gambling.
I knew that.
But I did not drink and gamble. You know, because I got to keep a watch on my money.
Yeah. And even if you were drinking and gambling, it only affected, you know, you were gambling away your own money. But But our union leaders are gambling with our lives.
Yeah, but they think that's their money.
Yeah.
That's the problem. See, once you get to drink it, see, you forget whose is whose.
Right. That's it. It definitely impairs your judgment.
Yes. And going back to something about Florida and property, I had been told years ago that the UAW owns some property in Florida. Now, you know, I never knew exactly where it was, but it was supposed to be some condos or something.
Oh, yeah?
No,
Those are the retirees that they're, you know, they're going to use like the secret Trump card. And I'm told there's four different locations in Florida. One can for sure is Lakeland. Like I said, I've seen too many that have just recently passed in the last 4 months are all from Lakeland.
Okay.
Hey, I did get a couple emails. But they, I don't know if I should read. Well, I'll read them. They're funny. This is Larry from 600, local 600. Larry, I won't give your last name. I got an idea. Why don't we all go change our names to Jose, go to Mexico, come back, and get some of that free $450,000 that the Department of Justice is going to give out to all the illegals that were hurt. Okay. Yeah, we could do that. But Ted Cruz, here's one from, who's this? Karen? Karen from 598. Ted Cruz had his first good idea, and that's to give every illegal a Hunter Biden painting. They're worth $500,000, so we'll give them an extra $50,000. So there you go, Larry. You guys, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, maybe the UAW should bargain something for all these UAW workers that got separated from their families when they were told you're laid off in Flint. You have 2 weeks to show up in Texas.
Good job. I didn't even think of that. Good
idea.
They've
been separated from their families. A lot of people were.
Absolutely.
During all this downsizing, they'd move out of state so their kids could finish up high school or whatever in their hometown, and they'd come back and see their family on holidays and vacations.
Right. I think this is Scott, and I'm not sure. Scott, is this you, 260? Okay, it's not Scott. 260, you are on. You push one.
Well, hey guys, how's everybody doing?
We're doing fine.
I've been listening to the show, and it's been good. But I felt I needed the call. Is that okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay,
what's on your mind?
You guys are talking about a lot of important stuff. But the one thing, you know, it's been brought up once, but it wasn't brought up the way it should be brought up, is I'll just say it. I'm calling on behalf of Protect the Wheel.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys understand. Look, there's been a lot of misinformation out there. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of false. A lot of just misinformation, trying to sway people.
Straighten us out.
People need to understand. Can I, on behalf, this is Jim
you
Bob
can't
Jones.
Okay, but you can't filibuster, get to the point.
That's what I was asking. I hope I can take a moment to talk about protecting the wheel for the membership. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, where are you?
Is everybody on board? Because, trust me, all I care about is a membership. So before I even talk about it, I want to make sure we're okay to talk about it, because that's all we care about. That's what Protecting the Wheel is about.
Well, Scott,
good?
Hold on
it's
for
about
a minute.
Talk.
Scott, all you guys are part of the show. It's your show. It's up to you guys, not me.
Okay. So
Scott,
Protecting the Wheel?
Yeah, it's all about protecting the wheel, brother. Okay, let me explain something to people. You know, the UAW, we've had our ups and downs. You know, Walter Reuther had his ups and downs, but things were really good in his time. He's always remembered as being good. And, you know, and from his, you know, untimely death, he left it into the hands of other members to you know, pursue avenues within the union. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been some ups and downs. You know, there's been some jail time. There's been some corruption. There's been some problems. However, that's just individual people doing wrong things after they were prosecuted, after they were thrown in jail, after it was negative, we come out and said, hey, that's not right. You know, during we just didn't know about it. That's
the explanation.
But you guys have to understand, protecting the wheel, we have to protect the foundation of the union from Reuther on with the administrative caucus. What they've done,
seniority, brother? Protect the worker foundation?
You're talking about protecting the foundation. It starts with the fucking worker, Herman. Is your name Ralph
Hang on, brother.
Wait.
Hey, let's let him talk.
Let him have 5 minutes of talk. Him talk for 5 minutes.
Wait a minute.
Protect the foundation of the
union. 260. Be quiet.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and then Jim, you get 5 minutes. Okay. Is that okay?
So who gets 5 minutes first?
You do. Go for it.
Okay. So anyway, as I was saying, we have to protect the wheel. Yes, our union has changed. Yes, the leadership drastically changed. And, you know, the leadership was left with what they had. And the best thing they knew to do was to take care of themselves, to take care of their brothers, their sisters, their friends, their family. And you know, through the years, we took care of them. We put them in positions that they weren't, you know, qualified for. We put them in the positions because it helped us, because we helped them and we scratched each other's back, and it worked for a very long time. Unfortunately, we did have a few bad apples, you know, probably 90% of the people in there, but we had a few bad apples that corrupted the system even further, took advantage of things. But the problem is now is we can't just forego. We can't just forego the last 30 years of our union, of these people that we've taken care of that really shouldn't be there, but they're there. You know, that's not right. We promised them a job. We give them a job. They couldn't do the job. They corrupted the job. But they're still there. How is that union? We got to take care of those people. We shouldn't just be like, hey, guys, we got all of a sudden change. We got all of a sudden be held accountable. We shouldn't do that. We should honor obligations that we promised them, to give them this job that pays really good, that just do nothing and not care about the membership. We should, you know, the right thing to do is to honor that. And that's what's about protecting the wheel. We got to protect what's there. And people got to understand, we've got to protect this darkness, this underlying darkness that we've had for 30 or 40 years now. You know, I hope members understand that's the right thing to do, because that's what we started. That's all. I don't have a lot to say.
Okay.
It's just the right thing to do, because that's what we started. We got to finish it.
Okay.
You know.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
Okay. Now you're done. Let's get Jim in there. Jim? It's your ball.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak a lot of stuff. It says protect the foundation. That starts, in my humble opinion, with the worker, with seniority rights. We all should be one. No goddamn tears. We're all equal after 90 days. God, pray we make it there. We all need to have a living wage. And then you said they protected themselves first over the workers. Yeah, they've been doing that for 35 to 50 years now, and we're just sick and tired of it. My last question to this comedian is, out of 50,000 comedians out of a job, why the hell did we have to get one to call in tonight? Take her away, folks.
Well, I do want to say, I want to say that he did bring up some very, very good points. You know, the Protect the Wheel wants to preserve the type of thing that's been going on.
You want to the status quo.
If you're in support of the continued what things have been done, by all means, I'm a firm believer in voicing your opinion and your voice how you fit. If you continue, if not continued support of corruption and cronyism and nepotism and protection of non-deserving people that don't work for the membership, by all means. If you want something better, then let's change it.
Hang on a second. I mean, I'm great that we should have a discussion about this, but if you didn't catch, it says his name was Jim Bob. He's a comedian.
Yeah, it's Jim Bob. I'm still here.
He's trying to make light of a serious situation.
Oh.
He's agreeing with us.
Oh, okay.
I know.
What I'm trying to tell you guys is, hey, come on. Come on. Let's take a step back from everything. All the pressure, you know, all the people that lost their jobs and fucked over and stuff like that. Take a step back and say, in light of it, come on. You know, there's been other people that have been up there. They've not tried to do their job per se, but they've walked a line within the system that they thought they were supposed to be walking. They didn't have no problem following corruption. We can't blame them. Come on. We should probably just understand that those people were just in the mix, and we should give them just a pass and break. We shouldn't just all of a sudden uproot this whole corrupt system to change it for the better when you sure people rely on what's there, right?
No, you hadn't.
Absolutely.
Go.
Right.
But, you know,
just give peace a chance. That's all we're saying. Give peace a chance.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, and not only that, just give a pass. Just give a pass to all those people that didn't do what they were supposed to do for decades. Just give them a pass. You know,
right.
And on top of that, if you could,
my question
if you could,
is,
just let them continue doing it.
Why should I, you know, my question is, Jim Bob, is why should I give them a pass? Why should I let them get another pension for not doing what they were elected to do? And then why the hell would I ever keep somebody that's the problem in there to fix the damn problem? That's what I don't get.
Well, you know, you bring up some very good points. We can only relate back to the foundation of Christ is that we got to forgive people. That you know, yes, you know, there have been many mistakes made, but we have to forgive them for their trespassing. That's all.
I'm not that kind of Christian, brother. Again, I'm not that. I'm tired of getting played like a fiddle, you know. You wanted a 31% raise? The bastards got it. You can protect your ass pretty good. You take that 31% and get on down the damn road, but.
Well, you got to understand that 31% was only
ain't no well
there
about that, buddy. You've been wishing at that well long enough. Now, you know, down the road.
Well, again, I'm just looking out for the livelihood of all these people that have been given these jobs through nepotism and corruption and all that stuff for so many years. Without that, they
sounds
have nothing.
Sounds like a PR firm now, don't it, Scott? Sounds like one of them PR firms.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, to the heart. It's just to the heart honesty. Without that, they have nothing.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I like you bring the good book into it because, you know, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Okay, I'm going to turn to the left, I'm going to turn to the right, well, then it's my turn.
There was also some shit in there called
the
Crusades. Do you remember that part of it, Jim Bob, the Crusades?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was going to – that's what I was just getting to. Just don't get me wrong. There may be a point in time where you're not asked to turn a cheek, but you're asked to open your cheeks.
Yeah,
you know, that's just the world we live in. Sometimes you got to open the cheeks up and accept it.
Wait a minute, you just said we had to protect the wheel.
Oh, I, no, I am. We had to check the wheel because we got to check the people that have been living off this wheel for so long.
Daddy, you do get one off once in a while, don't you? It took you 17 years. You finally got one going. That's bad.
Yeah, don't forget. Protect that wheel. Protect those people. Protect them.
That's right.
We didn't know any better, but they were giving this shit.
All right.
Well, we appreciate you calling
right out the
Jim
door.
Jim Bob, we got to get into some serious stuff right now, buddy. But I appreciate you breaking the tension.
No,
there.
Go ahead. Right. I just wanted to state the facts.
No, we all appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Very good.
Well, now that I got two extra doses of blood pressure medicine in the carry-on, folks.
we noticed you were about to go through the phone system there, buddy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. He had me fooled too, guys. So.
I thought it was Ralph Light. All these years, Don, I thought Ralph finally called in. You
oh, hell
know what
no.
I mean?
No. Not Ralph.
Man, Ralph. Well, he. Yeah, that was nice. That was nice to break the ice.
I thought
we'll never hear
from Ralph.
No.
I was going to bring up the Norwood Jewel's defense lawyer's excuse that he was a victim of a corrupt culture.
No,
it wasn't his fault.
Right.
Hey, but it worked for him. No. Think about it. It worked for him. All he did is he went and pled guilty in Ann Arbor, got an ankle bracelet. That bastard never even went to jail. Well, he might have went there and got booked, but he never spent a night.
Yeah. We got COVID. And
COVID came.
Too dangerous to go to prison, but you can stay out here and open up them. You can stand here and open up them butt cheeks and protect the wheel.
That was good. Scotty, for once in your, 17 years I've been waiting for you to be funny. You finally.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Occasionally I come up with a good one.
Well, none of those people were victims. They were all willing participants. You know, there's a point where you make a decision. You know, those of us that participate in the show, we're people that couldn't be bought, you know?
Right.
And that's why we're on this show. But I just thought about one thing, you know. We're pretty much all in automotive, but the UAW is organized in education and the casinos and everything else. And these people, at least to this point, have not been affected by the corruption the way we have. But they need to understand the way the UAW is set up, that eventually they will be pushing these same programs into the casinos and education. They'll be working with management to help management cut headcount, increase productivity, shorten breaks, make working conditions more miserable, because this is the culture of the UAW. And just because you haven't been placed in these kind of programs yet doesn't mean you won't. If we continue with the kind of structure the UAW has now, all these companies, all these organizations that where we represent the workers, they will be coming to the union to ask for the same kind of concessions that we've been given in the auto industry, the two and three tier wages, the lifetime temps, that kind of program. So people need to be wary work in these other areas.
Right.
Right.
Right. Hey, Jimmy, you got an email that says, hey, Jim, I'm with you. I had to take my mother's blood pressure because she was about to stroke out until she realized it was a joke. So, Jim Bob, you did good.
In light of what we're talking about, if we take it for just another few minutes,
and take their statement. Take their statement and just think about this for a minute. They said that the administration caucus is the members, UAW members, that are dedicated to advancing the goals of strong collective bargaining. All right, so let's go back to the last six, seven contracts. They've all been concessionary. They've also spent over job security. Right? Okay. So when we talk about the goals of strong collective bargaining, I find you failing miserably there. Aggressive worker advocacy. Huh?
Every contract had plant closures.
Yes. Yeah, so where's the job security? And the next thing they say, aggressive worker advocacy and helping to build a just and fair society. All right. Yeah, I understand we need to maintain the communities around us. That starts with us, the workers. You say a worker advocate, and you want to build a just and fair. What is just and fair about a five-tier pay system? What is fair about the person doing a left-handed job and person doing a right-handed job, and the person on the left hand is making $30 and some change, and the person on the right side is making $16? What's fair about that? And they're doing the same job, just opposite. Really? Okay. They said the caucus promotes advanced experience, battle-tested union members as leaders with the UAW. Let me stop and think. How long had the Norwood Jewels boys been on the line? Wow.
Never.
They really went through a lot, didn't they?
Are you sure Beavers. Jim Bob didn't write that?
Or Beavers kids.
What's that?
Yeah.
Sounds like something he would have said.
You know, and then we talk about longstanding commitment to racial and gender diversity within our ranks. It's within our ranks. They didn't say our ranks. They said their ranks, okay? So, they've done fairly well at that over the few years. I mean, we got such beautiful gems as Kareem and Corey and Cindy. You know, I mean, we could, you know, Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth Bunn? Oh, boy. I mean, we got some real good ones on that one. But, you know, they said they stand proud on their record of achieving economic security for the members, the families, and the communities in which they live. Well, if you stop and think of all the plant closings we've had in our communities, how devastating that is to those communities, well, I have a problem with that statement, you know, especially when they said the economic security for our members. When we have five-tier pay systems, we have different levels of health care, dental and optical for the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
These are all people who are creating. And I don't sound like Dick Danjen here, but they're creating the very wealth the corporation is spending. And Walter Reuther's brother, you know, said we are the backbone of the corporation. We are. They don't come down on the plant floor. The shareholders don't come down and turn a wrench. They don't fix a machine. You know, they don't drive a fork truck or a mule or a tugger. They don't deliver these parts to the line. They don't have to get up and drive an hour or an hour and a half one way through blinding snow to try to get to work or through pouring rain or going to work when it's 110 degrees in the plant. They don't have to do that. We do that. You know, we did that, in the words of Danjen, we traded off a 30-year prison sentence for the promise of a pension and health care at the end of it, knowing full well that we're going to be battered and bruised and broken when we leave. And we don't even get that anymore. We don't even get that respect anymore. You know, I'm telling you, one member, one vote.
Speed up.
Absolutely,
hey,
because, yeah.
I just want to do one quick thing. I got to go because I got to do homework.
Homework?
Yeah. I wanted to remind everyone, earlier Don had mentioned that we had talked when I hadn't received my ballot, called in.
Right.
And they sent me my ballot. Well, I got a call back from the monitor, from the message that I left. And, you know, last week's show, the members emailed in about clipboarders walking around discouraging people from voting for direct elections. And they're doing it on company time. That is against the decree that both the judge signed, passed, and everybody agreed to. So that should not be happening. If that is happening in your plant, you can email the monitor at uawmonitor@jenner.com. That's JENNER.com. And under the subject, put election, and that'll be flagged for immediate investigation. If you send them, if there's anybody campaigning for any of the, doesn't matter, right is right, wrong is wrong. Nobody should be campaigning for any vote, for any choice, for or against, during company or union time. If it's compensated time, it is wrong, it is illegal, it can't happen, and the monitor is interested in knowing about it, and they will investigate and take action. So that's what I was told.
All right.
I want to pass that on. And for now, I got to sign off and do some homework. It's great talking to you guys, as always.
Thanks, JJ.
Be good.
All
right,
thanks, JJ.
JJ, that's good information right there. So he got his pretty quick after he called or sent an email. So check it out. Make sure you get to that. And if you, we'll give that address again later and a phone number. So get a pencil and paper ready. And we'll give it later on before the show ends. How about that, Adrian?
Have you heard any more beer workers, Scott?
What's that?
Have you heard, anybody heard any more on the beer workers? I haven't heard nothing with them other than I know they're still out and the Kellogg's people are still out. But
they turned down.
They
voted it down Tuesday. They voted that return contract. They voted it down. So they are sought on strike.
And they said that was their last and final agreement, if I remember right. The same bullshit, different dance.
Right. Right.
Wow. That's going to get sticky.
Yeah, I wish that guy from the wheel was there because I would have to ask now, does that mean that them people that are now refusing to negotiate for me, are them some bitches still getting paid?
He's here. Well, he was here. Let me go back to the switchboard real quick. Yeah, he's still here. Hang on. 260, you've been summoned.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Go ahead, Jimmy. Jimmy?
They came back and voted it down Tuesday, said it was the last and final offer at John Deere. Well, now that the UAW International, they're not bargaining no more. That was the last and final offer. Does that mean they're still getting their pay? They shouldn't be getting paid either. They should go right down to strike pay. They failed.
Well, on behalf of the wheel, I got to speak for the wheel. yes, they are still getting paid. But you have to understand that's because the system protects people in the wheel. That's just how it is. Those people don't have to do their jobs. At the end of the day, they don't have
to
do their jobs. They still get paid.
Said bend over, right? So we're back to bending over.
It's more so open up and take it down the throat. And then when you're done, smack your hands on your ass and open it up. You're going to take it there too. It's just how it is. But either
that,
way,
that,
I got to
reiterate. That's called the open.
Again.
That's called the open wheel technique.
Yeah. Either way, we have to protect that wheel. It's as simple as that. We have to protect it.
You should have stayed out of it, Scott. You just now you're one for one. One for two.
Hey, Don.
Yes,
I was once at the region over there and watched them. They had a class on how to eat a banana. And they peel the banana, then they got to take their hand and put it behind their head and pull their hand down over the banana and take it that way.
Oh. Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that's wheel training 101.
That's wheel training.
Correct. That was right after how to steal an election.
But still, make sure you protect it.
Hey, Carrie, I miss you too, hon.
I miss you too. I'm just dying laughing over here.
Oh, I think
it's the blood pressure medicine. I'm telling you.
Love connection.
It's not
going
really
on.
A laughing matter. We have to protect the wheel.
Yeah.
I hope everybody gets that. We have to protect the people that shouldn't be there. We have to.
Yeah, it's the American way.
The American way, Jim. Is that what you're about to say?
Either that or it's part of that learned helplessness. I think that's what it is. You know, it's got.
It's more so that we're a dying breed. Come on. We've been running this shit for how long? We've been fucking up for how long? We're a dying breed. You know, we're getting kind of desperate.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, too. Getting desperate.
But I think that we are getting
desperate. Don't ask me too many more questions because I'm going to have to call Ralph up and ask him to give me some answers.
I'd really appreciate that. I've been trying to get that bastard to first one for 5 years, buddy. I'm slow.
Well, he's my training coach. He is my training coach. He works very hard with me. We have it down to a science. It's basically kiss your life away, you know, pledge your allegiance to everything corrupt in this world, put your head down, eat shit, and move on. And you know what? It works very well.
You still put them just one double dip a day? Is that what you're giving them, one double dip a day?
No, a triple. It's triple. Again, protect the wheel. We get triple pay for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. He likes that tongue action.
It is Sunday. It is Sunday.
It's not the tongue. The tongue's a benefit, but that triple pay really it does help. I take care of my brothers, my sisters, my family, my friends. I've got so many jobs lined up that I can't give away just yet, but I'm going to. Once we protect the wheel, I've got them all lined up.
Got it right. Got it lined up. All right.
Well, yeah. No offense, no offense to,
they're hardworking UAW folks. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, and those people don't know any better anyway, right? We they don't know any better. Just pay your dues, have your faith, and everything's good to go. Just protect the fucking wheel.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. See, it's simple.
That sounds simple enough. How about it, Scott? Jimmy?
Yeah.
Adrian, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you're all on board. I'm glad you're all on board. I'm so good.
Yeah.
I was worried about calling, and Rob was like, no, you can do this. And he coached me for hours. But
well, he's got hours.
We got it down.
Yeah. Ralphie's got it down all right. Oh, yeah.
Coming to a neighborhood to you soon. Don't worry.
That's true.
Well, my brother is once I gave him a job.
Somewhere. All right, 260. That was Jim Bob. That was awesome. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold for a while, and we'll get back to you probably before the end of the show. Hang on. Okay, guys.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. Yes, we needed that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we needed that. Came in a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. But, on all serious notes, direct voting system is the way to vote, in our opinion.
Yeah, I don't tell anybody how to vote, but give that good consideration, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Just because of where we're at and how it's going. This protect the wheel thing, if this is truly linked back to them, I would think that would almost be a violation. Because they were told not to do that, that if they did, other people would be able to have an opposing view, if I remember right. Isn't that what Scott Holzman kind of said, that if they were allowed to do that, they would have to allow an outside group to have to offer up an opposing view?
I would think that they would have to give both sides.
Right. And if any one of us went to that Facebook page and said something that is opposite of what they're saying, you'll either be removed or we'll be blocked.
They take your voice away, Scott. That's what they did to me last week. They would let me
Absolutely.
Go on. I could read it, but I couldn't comment on anything. It's like they censored me for a week.
Yeah. And like Adrian said, if we're supposed to be adults, and you're supposed to be watching out for us. I mean, if I had a lawyer that acted like this, I'd sue the lawyer. I'd get another lawyer and sue that lawyer. I'd get Jeffrey Figer. That's who I'd get. I don't know. There's
Figer after the union. Did you know that?
What's that?
You can't get Figer and go after the union. He is on a retainer with them.
UAW?
Retainer by the UAW or management. That was my big problem when I was going through my discharge. There was very few attorneys that weren't given an annual retainer. Whether they did anything or not for the company, they would get a small check.
That's right. You have to damn near go out of state to get an attorney.
Right. There was one down in your neck of the woods, Adrian, but he's since retired. And he was not cheap. His retainer was $10,000. But he used to be on staff at UAW. And he was promised a VP position, and he didn't get it, and they cut ties with him. He went in.
Wow.
He went in to be a lawyer, and he was a labor lawyer, and his specialty was fighting General Motors and the UAW.
Wow.
But he is retired now. I can't remember. Jim, you might remember there were two different groups of lawyers. I want to say his name was Dunn. Then the other one was the injury lawyers for workman's comp and sick leave.
Yep, he started out with
Davis and Breed Dowd. They used to give out watches and stuff at the local, so people remember their names.
Started out with Ellis Bowles in the beginning.
Yep. His son still, the father has since retired, but the son's still in business. Like I said, Davis and Breed and Dowd now, but good lawyers. Their reputation was they never lost a case with General Motors. So they're pretty good. But Dunn, I think it was his name was Dunn, also. And yeah, he was not cheap, but if he took your case, he'd win it. You know, like I said, just the retainer was $10,000.
$10,000, he better do something.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Or like he was talking about spread them butt cheeks. Yeah, I got something to put up there.
Oh. Mr. Reed, you can heard that too. Look out.
Size 7 boot, huh?
That's not some change for a retainer. And not knowing how much more you're going to have to pay out.
Exactly. Like I said, that's just the retainer.
That's the retainer.
That Manly and Manly here in Flint, Scott. Many times I've heard him on 103.9 for $25,000 retainer and another of the spot of money, I can get you off for murder. What the hell is he telling you?
Well, I'd give him the $25,000 if I had murdered somebody.
He did wonders for Norwood, did he not? Because that's who Norwood hired when he fired the hot shots in Chicago. He hired that guy.
Manly,
I'm
going
to tell you that he's an excellent divorce attorney, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Manly and Manly.
They don't play. They're sharks.
Da-dum, 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 da-dum.
But there you go. You know, their kids get put on special assignment. As soon as they get on special assignment, they're automatically jacked up to legacy worker wages and benefits. And from what I'm seeing, Justin Jewell right now should be eligible for Southern pension, Scott.
Wow.
Yeah, they get to get a pension for every company they negotiated for, from what we're understanding. The Samline's telling me, right?
Yeah.
So if you negotiated with Chrysler, you get one for Chrysler. If you negotiated one for, look at Cindy. She's already done GM, Chrysler, Stellas, Fiat. Now, all of them carry a different pension package. And then your little ones, because Norwood gets a couple from these steel companies over south of Lansing and a little bus company there in Owosso.
Gus posted some one on Corey when he retired June 1st. He's getting like 9 pensions.
Yeah.
9 pensions?
Yep.
9 pensions. I think it was 7 pensions, and he sat on 2 boards. So he's getting payments for sitting on the 2 boards that he sat on.
Now, this
Curry will get
more
because he's on the NAACP board and that other board.
Yeah. See, this, you know, we was just testing the waters with the ice cream factory to see how we could do this. That's all.
Exactly.
Wow. 7
dummy run.
You start adding 7, 8 pensions, 9 pensions up, you know, you're upward around $12,000-$13,000 a month, people. Then you times that by 12. Hey, man, you're doing $120,000 a year retired. Now, top of this, people, they have no copay on their health care. I mean, hell, Danjan got 4 pair of glasses every year. Every 6 months, he got a pair of regular glasses and a pair of sunglasses.
Wow.
He got everything free. He could go to a chiropractor, 100%, no copays.
I told this to Dick a long time ago. I said, I don't care how much you guys made. If you did your job, you worked for us and did your job for us, I don't care. It's the people that screwed us over. I don't think they deserve anything. No pension. Zero.
They didn't even get what they did deserve, Don.
I know it. They got off very easy, but I want their money. I want their freaking money that they stole from us. I want their pension back.
soon as they pled guilty, their UAW pension and benefits should have stopped right there. And in my humble opinion, I wish we'd have been able to vote on that as well, because I think every member would have said that. And like I said, how can you leave the corrupt team in there to fix the problem that they corrupted?
And
you gotta get all these.
If they pled guilty, though, and they got a, and we were paying for their lawyer, and they pled guilty, I want them to pay for that lawyer. If they were found guilty or pled guilty, I want them to
pay. An insurance. That it's an insurance that we pay for, I believe, for those officials.
Do they have to be bonded?
Almost like
yes,
a bond.
They are all bonded. They are all bonded because when I was elected committee man, I had to become bonded.
But there's a dollar amount set on their there's a limit set on their how much they get, because if you remember right, Dennis Williams capped out at like $325,000, and they said the rest of it had to come out of his pocket.
Exactly.
I can only imagine what an insurance policy on that kind of liability insurance was costing. It's costing us. Us, the members.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the way they've had to pay out, I'm sure they've increased their premiums to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're...
Absolutely.
If I remember right, when they went to extra... Hold on. I'll get a lot more people in the switchboard. We got... 49. Anyway, push one. You got about 17 minutes. Push one on your keypad. I'll get you on. Weren't they supposed to go back down on the union dues?
It'll never go down because they tap into it and it'll never go back down.
Okay. But was it supposed to? Or am I thinking? Am I dreaming?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yes,
we okay?
It was supposed to.
All right.
It was decided in the 2018 convention that when the fund reached, what was it, $800 million?
Correct.
That
correct.
Union dues would go back to the 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
it never reaches the 800.
It's funding and organizing, so they cap it out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
They take the interest. They keep taking the interest off of it. And
right.
Then you look at, because it's called a strike and defense fund, they take monies from it for organizing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we can't organize because we have bad reputation.
Well, no, that's where they get the pork chop, cigar, and shotgun money, and then the villa money. I think that all comes out of that fund.
Well, they have to train their organizers, so they have to go to some exotic location to do that.
Yeah.
They can't do it in Detroit.
That crap's got to stop, too.
Yeah. Right.
I would vote for direct just to stop that.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
We need
absolutely.
To remember that everybody there that's currently polling office at Solidarity House was trained by the criminals.
That's right.
So
that's right.
They're not the solution because they've been trained by people who have no ethics.
If I remember right, at Norwood's hearing, didn't they say this was a generational offense? Which means I learned from the last guy, and that I think I deserve a little bit more because I'm smarter and better looking.
Correct.
Is that what that? Yes, they call it a generational. So, you know, not only is it just my kids or my family and my friends, but, you know. So.
Well, when we voted on the BIBA, I know, did you guys ever read that live bait and ammo.
Yeah, Greg Shotwell.
Greg put that out. Well, he wrote an issue, and he said by creating the Viva, they created jobs for their kids and grandkids, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't lie, did he?
Nope.
Sure didn't. You got that right. Wow.
Right.
I mean, direct voting will give us some accountability when it comes to people that fill these positions. They're being filled by people who have no experience, also yeah. have no, you know, a lot of them just don't have any backbone. They're great followers, and they don't have what it takes to go up against management and tell them no.
No, they don't anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah. We need to be able to elect people that will fight and scrap for us.
And let's not forget
right.
the folks that are in there right now, and they've been there for the last 10, 15 years. They knew. In my heart, I believe they knew what was going on. You
sure
can't get away with all that crap. Traveling and
yeah.
all and get away with that. Without knowing. I thought we had checks and balances in our union. I didn't think that they could get away with something like that.
Well, as long as they're all members of the same caucus, there isn't going to be any checks and balances.
I guess not.
Everybody getting their piece of the trough.
Yep. Exactly. You need to clean house in there. Even the janitors have to go.
Yep.
Sweep it all out. Put new people in. God.
So what do you think is going to happen if we do get this direct vote? I mean, how is this? Like, I know how. So then they're going to take candidates? What's the whole just then if we get the direct vote and they're going to have people?
I believe it'll be like primaries and you can listen to the candidates, and then
mm-hmm.
you can ask questions of the candidates, and have a place where you can email questions to them. And they can answer. I think they're going to be using Zoom a hell of a lot, and then you can start getting rid of the ones, you know, with the lower votes. You know, you keep the top three or something like that, or the top two, eventually the top two.
I wonder how long that whole process will take.
It'll be a while.
I really believe you're going to end up having to get a slate that is going to have people in all regions together to run against this beast remember. We're not running against the people in Detroit or in Michigan. We're in the United States, and everybody here doesn't know it. We need, we need a guy from Detroit. We need a guy from Indiana. We need a guy from Kentucky. We need people from all over the regions to come together with common goal and fight these clowns as a team, because that's the only way you're going to beat these guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, I haven't heard the word slate in a long time. Yeah.
They want to keep us dumb. Remember that, Don. They don't want us old folks telling them what we know.
Yeah, that's why we can't just walk in the plant like we used to. I was really surprised when I went to go into the plant. I walked in one time, second time, they wouldn't let me in. If you want to get in, you got to go to the front. And you got to go through this and that, and maybe you'll get in. But since they're doing construction, you're not going to be able to go on the floor. Well, what the hell do I want to be in?
It's really sad to play with that shit because it's terrible. I mean, all I heard and seen when I was getting close to retirement, I'd see my buddies that did retire. They'd come in once a month with a dozen donuts during our break time, just to bullshit with the guys they worked with. And they used that gold card. That was an honor for them. Then they slapped and took all that shit away. Hell, they had my picture up. I'm a terrorist.
Yeah.
And the union approved of that.
Yeah.
I used they wouldn't have done it without the union's approval.
I used to work with a lot of guys that retired. They'd come in at Christmas time. It was really nice to see them. Really nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think they don't want retirees in the plant, so the retirees would be ashamed if they saw what happened to their workplace. You know, like the metal center had 3,700 people when I hired in there, and I think they got less than, don't they have less than 400 now, Jim?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I heard we're under 300 at Fab now, and that includes management.
Yeah.
Wow. Metal Fab, down to 300 people. Jeez, who would have thought that? Good.
Yep. They've outsourced everything. They cut an agreement. I think it was, what is it, Jim? Now they can't bid on any work that's shorter than 38 inches. They basically gave away almost all their work.
Yeah, it was a small part. Size that they, I can't remember, but it took a third of our press work away.
At least. And then they stopped making engine cradles.
You know, and those were our big hitters. Well, they had them two new big press they just put in. I mean, they bragged on how much work they were going to bring, and hell, now they just sit there idle in the plant because, you know, it went to a Tier 2 shop that has a standalone agreement, that other Pontiac plant.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, I don't care, you're not going to play on the same uneven field when one plant's pay scale's 30 bucks, 32 bucks an hour, and then the other plant top pay scale's still trades at 19.
Yeah.
You the two plants
Whip
can't
side.
Compete. Yeah, it's, you call it what you want.
I
call it good truth.
Well, we used to be, that if you and I and Paul had different locals and you negotiate a sweetheart agreement, you share that with me and Paul, we're supposed to fight to try to copy that. That was the whole thing of pattern agreement, was to get a better agreement every time. It don't happen that way no more.
Well, that stopped a long time ago. You should have it where all your locals have their agreement before you give them a goddamn national, because once they get the national, they could really give a shit about the local agreement. Now, I don't know how it is at Ford or Chrysler, but through my discharge, your shop rules in GM people are in your local agreement. So that's where your teeth are on your discharge shit, is in your local agreement, wherever your shop rules were. I didn't realize that until my discharge, and me and Paul learned a lot of that shit, and you can actually get fired for a shop rule that has never even been printed. Do you know that, people? I got fired for shop rule 44. We only have 42 shop rules. Go figure that one out. They wanted my ass bad, but I didn't do what that chump said. I didn't bend over and take it.
Right.
Shop rule 44.
It's not even printed, is it, Paul?
No, there wasn't any such rule. That's how pathetic the union is. They should have been able to get it back with back pay on that.
You think so?
I spent 9 years, 2 months out on the street and 2 days discharged for a shop rule that still to this day has never been wrote, shop rule 44. When I asked what it was, they told me, I think they said the word other.
What?
O-T-H-E-R.
Wow.
Other. Other what?
And the other one, other you one. Know. Just pick it. I only got about 5 minutes left. I'm gonna put Carrie's boyfriend on. 260 Jim Bob. He's been here all this
time. Yes, I am so kind of isolated.
Yeah, I know you did, sir, and I apologize, but Carrie just emailed me and said, get my boyfriend on it. And so there you go.
I see. Well, let me tell you guys something.
Oh,
I spent the last couple hours trying to talk to Ralph because I told him what was being talked about on the show here. And, well, on one side, he was concerned. The other side, he didn't give a shit. But it got to a point where he left me. He went to a gay bar down the road here. And I have not been in contact with him since then. I think he might be doing some things that we call unprofessional. I don't know.
He's a professional.
But either way, he's enjoying his gay lifestyle, you know, doing his stuff. And I don't judge, you know, that's him. But I was trying to get clarity because I told him, look, these people are talking about some important stuff here. They're affecting the wheel. And I can't have them affect the wheel. But he was kind of caught from pleasure. So I'm going to let him go with pleasure and do what he – and I'm free-willing it now. I was trained before this. Now I'm free-willing it. You know, I don't know what to say or do other than say we have to protect that wheel. We have so many people. That we have so many people that their livelihoods are locked into, you know, yes, maybe corrupt, maybe a bad wheel, but they're you know, they're locked into it, and who would we be, you know, I'm kind of left in that point. Who would we be to allow these people suffer?
Now, hold on, 260.
You know what I mean?
Hold on, Jim Bob. I told everybody to get a pencil paper. I'm going to give you the email address and the phone number right now. UAW Monitor dash
election. No. The wheel has told me we cannot contact them. That honestly, the wheel told me. The wheel told me they are the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck the wheel. Let's get this information out there.
Now, hold on, guys. I've got a minute and 50 seconds to go. Hang on. I got to get this up. UAW Monitor dash election at Jenner, JENNER. Or you can call 212-303-2529. That's 212-303-2529. We got 90 seconds. The lady just said UAW Monitor dash election at Jenner, JENNER. There you go.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now what you just shared. That's property of the devil. That was you know, you're trying to destroy. You're trying to destroy the fucking wheel.
Oh no, Satan has a phone number. Watch out.
You and Carrie get together. It must be one hell of a battle royal because she doesn't want to protect that wheel.
I don't want to protect the wheel.
There you go. I don't know what you're going to do.
That wheel is dangerous for your boo-boo.
Please protect nepotism and favoritism. Please.
Your
it's
boo-boo?
It's the way to go.
Your boo-boo?
I cannot help it. It's an Audi for me.
That's an Audi. Okay. And I just haven't heard the word boo-boo in about, you know, 55 years.
You guys just don't understand how much, you know, we have to protect the wheel, protect the favoritism, protect the nepotism. Come on. Come on, please.
Yep, we'll do that. time, right down the wheel, right down the toilet.
Oh shit! But I got Ralph Fleiss right here right now. He's sucking a dick.
Oh no no! We don't talk about that, you guys. Hold on.
Come on.
Well, he's in love right now. It won't last long, but he's in love.
Okay, well, he's in love then. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Good night, Rabble Rousers.
Thank you.
Good
night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Good night.
Carrie, be over to your house pretty soon there, Jim Bob, and you guys have fun with the wheel. the wheel does sound tricky, I'll have to tell you. You're a lucky man.
Oh.
Lucky man.
Until next week.
Mr. Adrian, have fun with her wheel, or Adrian's wheel. And you all have a safe, and be safe this week, guys. All kidding aside, play with your wheels, and I'll talk to you next Sunday night right here at on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. By the way, use black ink. Black ink, ladies and gentlemen. Black ink.
That's right.
Your ballot, please. Black ink. Don't give them any excuse.
313.
Out.
All right. 313.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.